The death is my life. The strength becomes my weakness. The journey has ended. Dated Beta Banis, 1173, 95 seconds pre-death. Subject, a scholar of some minor renown. Sample collected secondhand, considered questionable.
That is why, Father, you absolutely cannot abdicate to me. No matter what we discover with the visions.
Is that so?
Yes.
Very well, you've convinced me.
Adolin stopped dead in the hallway. The two of them were on their way to Dalinar's chambers. Dalinar turned and looked back at the younger man.
Really? I mean, I've actually won an argument with you.
Yes, your points are valid. No matter what, I will stay. I can't leave this fight now.
Adolin smiled broadly.
But I have a requirement. I will draft an order, notarized by the highest of my scribes and witnessed by Elikar, that gives you the right to depose me should I grow too mentally unstable. We won't let the other camps know of it, but I will not risk letting myself grow so crazy that it's impossible to remove me.
All right, I can accept that, assuming you don't tell Sadeas about it. I still don't trust him.
I'm not asking you to trust him. You just need to believe that he is capable of changing. Sadeas was once a friend, and I think he can be again.
The cool stones of the soul-cast chambers seemed to hold the chill of the spring weather. It continued to refuse to slip into summer, but at least it hadn't slid into winter either. Elphabar promised that it would not do so. But then the Stormwarden's promises were always filled with caveats. The Almighty's will was mysterious, and the signs couldn't always be trusted. He accepted Stormwardens now, though when they'd first grown popular, he'd rejected their aid. No man should try to know the future, nor lay claim to it, for it belonged only to the Almighty himself. And Dalinar wondered how Stormwardens could do their research without reading. They claimed they didn't, but he'd seen their books filled with glyphs.
Glyphs?
They weren't meant to be used in books. They were pictures. A man who had never seen one before could still understand what one meant based on its shape. That made interpreting glyphs different from reading. Stormwardens did a lot of things that made people uncomfortable. Unfortunately, they were just so useful. Knowing when a high storm might strike, well, that was just too tempting an advantage. Even though Stormwardens were frequently wrong, they were more often right. Renarin knelt beside the hearth inspecting the fabrial that had been installed there to warm the room. Navani had already arrived. She sat at Dalinar's elevated writing desk. She wore the fabrial he had seen her displaying at the feast a few weeks back. The multi-legged contraption was attached to her shoulder, gripping the cloth of her violet dress.
I don't know, Father.
Apparently, Adolin was still thinking about Sadeas.
I don't care if he's listening to the Way of Kings. He's just doing it to make you look less closely at the plateau assaults, so that his clerks can arrange his cut of the gem hearts more favorably. He's manipulating you.
Gem hearts are secondary, son. If I can reforge an alliance with him, then it's worth nearly any cost. In a way, I'm the one manipulating him.
Very well. But I'm still going to keep a hand on my money pouch when he's near.
Just try not to insult him. Oh, and something else. I would like you to take extra care with the King's Guard. If there are soldiers we know for certain are loyal to me, put those in charge of guarding Elikar's rooms. His words about a conspiracy have me worried.
Surely you don't give them credence.
Well, something odd did happen with his armor. This whole mess stinks like creme slime. Perhaps it will turn out to be nothing. For now, humor me.
I have to note that I didn't much care for Sadeas back when you, he, and Gavilar were friends.
Navani finished her letter with a flourish.
He's not behind the attacks on the king.
How can you be certain?
Because it's not his way. Sadeas never wanted the title of king. Being high prince gives him plenty of power, but leaves him with someone to take the blame for large-scale mistakes. He never tried to seize the throne from Gavilar, and he's even better positioned with Elikar.
Because my son's a weakling.
He's not weak. He's inexperienced. But yes, that does make the situation ideal for Sadeas. He's telling the truth. He asked to be High Prince of Information because he wants very badly to find out who was trying to kill Elikar.
Marshala, That fabrial on your shoulder, what does it do?
Navani looked down at the device with a sly smile. Dalinar could see she'd been hoping one of them would ask. Dalinar sat down. The high storm would be coming soon.
Oh, this! It's a type of pain rill. Here, let me show you.
She reached up with her safe hand, pushing a clip that released the claw-like legs. She held it up.
Do you have any aches, dear? A stubbed toe, perhaps, or a scrape?
Renarin shook his head.
I pulled a muscle in my hand during dueling practice earlier. I mean, it's not bad, but it does ache.
Come over here.
Dalinar smiled fondly. Navani was always at her most genuine when playing with new fabrials. It was one of the few times when one got to see her without any pretense. This wasn't Navani, the king's mother, or Navani, the political schemer. This was Navani, the excited engineer.
The Artifabrian community is doing some amazing things. I'm particularly proud of this little device, as I had a hand in its construction.
Navani clipped it onto Adolin's hand, wrapping the claw-like legs around the palm and locking them into place. Adolin raised his hand, turning it around.
The pain is gone.
But you can still feel, correct?
The hand isn't numb at all.
Renarin watched with keen interest, bespectacled eyes curious, intense. If only the lad could be persuaded to become an Ardent. He could be an engineer then, if he wanted. And yet he refused. His reasons always seemed like poor excuses to Dalinar.
It's kind of bulky.
Well, it's just an early model. I was working backward from one of those dreadful creations of Long Shadows, and I didn't have the luxury of refining the shape. I think it has a lot of potential. Imagine a few of these on a battlefield to dull the pain of wounded soldiers. Imagine it in the hands of a surgeon who wouldn't have to worry about his patient's pain while working on them.
Adolin nodded. Dalinar had to admit, it did sound like a useful device.
This is a special time to be alive. We're learning all kinds of things about fabrials. This, for instance, is a diminishing fabrial. It decreases something, in this case, pain. It doesn't actually make the wound any better, but it might be a step in that direction. Either way, it's a completely different type from paired fabrials, like the span reeds. If you could see the plans we have for the future.
Like what?
You'll find out eventually.
Navani removed the fabrial from Adolin's hand.
Shard blades?
Well, no. The design and workings of shard blades and plate are completely different from everything we've discovered. The closest anyone has are those shields in Yarkaved, but as far as I can tell, they use a completely different design principle from regular shard plate. The ancients must have had a wondrous grasp of engineering.
No, I've seen them, Navani. They're, well, they're ancient. Their technology is primitive.
And the Dawn Cities? The Fabrials?
I've seen neither. There are shard blades in the visions, but they seem so out of place. Perhaps they were given directly by the Heralds, as the legends say.
Perhaps. Why don't...
Dalinar blinked. He hadn't heard the high storm approaching. He was now in a large, open room with pillars running along the sides. The enormous pillars looked sculpted of soft sandstone with unornamented granular sides. The ceiling was far above, carved from the rock in geometric patterns that looked faintly familiar, circles connected by lines spreading outward from one another.
I don't know what to do, old friend.
Dalinar turned to see a youthful man in regal white and gold robes walking with his hands clasped before him, hidden by voluminous sleeves. He had dark hair pulled back in a braid and a short beard that came to a point. Gold threads were woven into his hair and came together on his forehead to form a golden symbol.
The symbol of the Knight's Radiant.
They say that each time it is the same. We are never ready for the desolations. We should be getting better at resisting, but each time we step closer to destruction instead.
He turned to Dalinar as if expecting a response. Dalinar glanced down. He, too, wore ornamental robes, though not as lavish.
Where am I? What time?
He needed to find clues for Navani to record and for Yasna to use in proving or disproving these dreams.
I don't know what to say either.
I had hoped you would have wisdom to share with me, Carm.
They walked toward the side of the room, approaching a place where the wall split into a massive balcony with a stone railing. It looked out upon an evening sky. The setting sun stained the air, a dirty, sultry red.
Our own natures destroy us. Alakavish was a surge binder. He should have known better. And yet the Gnarl Bond gave him no more wisdom than a regular man. Alas, not all Spren are as discerning as Honor Spren.
I agree.
Oh, I worried that you would find my claims too forward. Your own surge binders were... But no, we should not look backward.
What's a surge binder?
Dalinar wanted to scream the question out, but there was no way. Not without sounding completely out of place.
Perhaps... What do you think should be done with these surge binders?
I don't know if we can force them to do anything. Their power... Well, Alakavish proves the allure that surge binders have for the common people. If only there were a way to encourage them. They need to be better, old friend. We all do. The responsibility of what we've been given, whether it be the crown or the Gnarl Bond, needs to make us better. I can read your disagreement in your face. It's all right, Carm. I realize that my thoughts on the subject are unconventional. Perhaps the rest of you are right. Perhaps our abilities are proof of a divine election. But if this is true, should we not be more wary of how we act?
Dalinar frowned. That sounded familiar to him. The regal man walked to the balcony lip. Dalinar joined him, stepping outside. The perspective finally allowed him to look down on the landscape below. Thousands of corpses confronted him. Dead filled the streets of the city outside, a city that Dalinar vaguely recognized.
Kolinar, my homeland.
He stood with the regal man on the top of a low tower, 3 stories high, a keep of some sort, constructed of stone. It seemed to sit where the palace would someday be. The city was unmistakable, with its peaked stone formations rising like enormous fins into the air. The wind blades, they were called. But they were less weathered than he was accustomed to, and the city around them was very different, built of blocky stone structures, many of which had been knocked down. The destruction spread far, lining the sides of primitive streets.
Has the city been hit by an earthquake? No. No, these corpses fell in battle.
Dalinar could smell the stench of blood, viscera, smoke. The bodies lay strewn about, many near the low wall that surrounded the keep. The wall was broken in places, smashed, and there were rocks of strange shape mixed about the corpses. Stones cut like...
Blood of my fathers, those aren't stones. They're creatures.
Massive creatures, easily 5 or 6 times the size of a person. Their skin dull and gray like granite. They had long limbs and skeletal bodies. The forelegs, or were they arms, set into wide shoulders. The faces were lean, narrow, arrow-like.
What happened here? It's terrible.
I asked myself the same thing. How could we let this occur? The desolations are well named. I've heard initial counts. 11 years of war, and 9 out of 10 people I once ruled are dead. Do we even have kingdoms to lead any longer? Sjor is gone, I'm sure of it. Tarma, Aeliz, they won't likely survive. Too many of their people have fallen.
Dalinar had never heard of those places. Burning stations had been set up in the distance. They had begun cremating the corpses.
The others went to blame Alakavish. And true, if he hadn't brought us to war before the desolation, we might not have been broken this badly. But Alakavish was a symptom of a greater disease. When the heralds next return, what will they find? A people who have forgotten them yet again? A world torn by war and squabbling? If we continue as we have, then perhaps we deserve to lose.
Dalinar felt a chill. He had thought that this vision must come after his previous one, but prior visions hadn't been chronological. He hadn't seen any Knights Radiant yet, but that might not be because they had disbanded. Perhaps they didn't exist yet. And perhaps there was a reason this man's words sounded so familiar.
Could it be?
Could he really be standing beside the very man whose words Dalinar had listened to time and time again?
There is honor in loss.
If that loss brings learning. Using my own sayings against me again, Karm?
Dalinar felt himself grow short of breath.
The man himself! Noadan! The great king! He is real! Or he was real.
This man was younger than Dalinar had imagined him, but that humble, yet regal bearing.
Yes, it is right.
I'm thinking of giving up my throne.
No, you mustn't.
I cannot lead them, not if this is what my leadership brings them to.
Noadan!
The man turned to him, frowning.
What?
Dalinar paused. Could he be wrong about this man's identity? But no. The name Noadan was more of a title. Many famous people in history had been given holy names by the church before it was disbanded. Even Bejerdan wasn't likely to be his real name. That was lost in time.
It is nothing. You cannot give up your throne. The people need a leader.
They have leaders. There are princes, kings, soulcasters, surge binders. We never lack men and women who wish to lead.
True, but we do lack ones who are good at it.
Noadan leaned over the railing. He stared at the fallen, an expression of deep grief and trouble on his face. It was so strange to see the man like this.
He is so young.
Dalinar had never imagined such insecurity, such torment in him.
I know that feeling. The uncertainty, the shame, the confusion.
You can read me too well, old friend.
I know those emotions because I felt them. I never assumed that you would feel them too.
Then I correct myself. Perhaps you don't know me well enough. So what do I do?
You're asking me?
You're my advisor, aren't you? Well, I should like some advice.
You can't give up your throne.
Then what should I do with it?
Noadan turned and walked along the long balcony. It seemed to run around this entire level. Dalinar joined him, passing places where the stone was ripped, the railing broken away.
I haven't faith in people any longer, old friend. Put two men together and they will find something to argue about. Gather them into groups and one group will find reason to oppress or attack another. Now this, how do I protect them? How do I stop this from happening again?
You dictate a book. A grand book to give people hope, to explain your philosophy on leadership and how lives should be lived.
A book? Me? Write a book.
Why not?
Because it's a fantastically stupid idea. The world as we know it has quite nearly been destroyed. Barely a family exists that hasn't lost half of its members. Our best men are corpses on that field, and we haven't food to last more than 2 or 3 months at best. And I'm to spend my time writing a book. Who would scribe it for me? All of my wordsmen were slaughtered when Yelignar broke into the Chancery. You're the only man of letters I know of who's still alive.
A man of letters? This is an odd time. I could write it then.
With one arm? Have you learned to write left-handed then?
Dalinar looked down. He had both of his arms, though apparently the man Noadan saw was missing his right.
No. We need to rebuild. I just wish there were a way to convince the kings, the ones still alive, not to seek advantage over one another. So this is my decision. Step down or do what is needed. This isn't a time for writing. It's a time for action. And then, unfortunately, a time for the sword.
The sword? From you, Noadan?
It wouldn't happen. This man would become a great philosopher. He would teach peace and reverence for others and would not force men to do as he wished. He would guide them to acting with honor. Noadan turned to Dalinar.
No, oh, I apologize, Karm. I should not dismiss your suggestions right after asking for them. I'm on edge, as I imagine that we all are. At times it seems to me that to be human is to want that which we cannot have. For some, this is power. For me, it is peace.
Noadan turned, walking back down the balcony. Though his pace was slow, his posture indicated that he wished to be alone. Dalinar let him go.
He goes on to become one of the most influential writers Roshar has ever known. I know you're there. What does he decide? Did he unite them as he wanted?
The voice that often spoke in his visions did not come. He turned to look out over the fields of dead.
You are right about one thing at least, Noadan. To be human is to want that which we cannot have.
The landscape darkened, the sun setting. That darkness enveloped him, and he closed his eyes. When he opened them, he was back in his rooms, standing with his hands on the back of a chair. He turned to Adolin and Renarin, who stood nearby, anxious, prepared to grab him if he got violent.
Well, that was meaningless. I learned nothing. Blast, I'm doing a poor job of...
Dalinar, the last thing you said before the vision ended, what was it?
The last...
Yes, the very last words you spoke.
I was quoting the man I'd been speaking with. To be human is to want that which we cannot have. Why?
She ignored him, writing furiously. Once done, she slid off the high-legged chair, hurrying to his bookshelf.
Do you have a copy of... Yes, I thought you might. These are Yasna's books, aren't they?
Yes. She wanted them cared for until she returned.
Navani pulled a volume off the shelf, Corvana's Analectics. She set the volume on the writing desk and leafed through the pages. Dalinar joined her, though, of course, he couldn't make sense of the page.
What does it matter?
Here. When you go into these visions of yours, you know that you speak.
Gibberish, yes, my sons have told me.
Anak, Malikaf, Delmachian, Habinya. Sound familiar?
Dalinar shook his head, baffled.
It sounds a lot like what Father was saying when he was in the vision.
Not a lot like Renarin. It's exactly the same phrase. That is the last thing you said before coming out of your trance. I wrote down everything as best I could that you babbled today.
For what purpose?
Because I thought it might be helpful. And it was. The same phrase is in the Analectics, almost exactly.
What? How?
It's a line from a song. A chant by the Vanreal, an order of artists who live on the slopes of the silent mount in Yakaved. Year after year, century after century, they've sung these same words, songs they claim were written in the dawn chant by the heralds themselves. They have the words of those songs written in ancient script, but the meanings have been lost. They're just sounds now. Some scholars believe that the script and the songs themselves may indeed be in the dawn chant.
And I...
You just spoke a line from one of them. Beyond that, if the phrase you just gave me is correct, you translated it. This could prove the Vanreal hypothesis. One sentence isn't much, but it could give us the key to translating the entire script. It has been itching at me for a while, listening to these visions. I thought the things you were saying had too much order to be gibberish. Dalinar, you might just have cracked one of the most perplexing and ancient mysteries of all time.
Wait, what are you saying?
What I'm saying, nephew, is that we have your proof.
But, I mean... He could have heard that one phrase...
And extrapolated an entire language from it?
Navani held up a sheet full of writings.
This is not gibberish, but it's no language the people now speak. I suspect it is what it seems, the dawn chant. So unless you can think of another way your father learned to speak a dead language, Adolin, the visions are most certainly real.
The room fell silent. Navani herself looked stunned by what she had said. She shook it off quickly.
Now, Dalinar, I want you to describe this vision as accurately as possible. I need the exact words you spoke, if you can recall them. Every bit we gather will help my scholars sort through this.